Welcome again to the Jay and Rob Toy Show. We continue to bring you somewhat questionable quality entertainment week after week here in the interwebs for your personal enjoyment. But let's get rid of me and bring somebody else in to amp up the ante, as they say, ladies and gentlemen, the man at arms to my Tila, Mr. Jay Bartlett.
Why don't you just start us both on the screen at the same time? Let's try that.
Nope, not going to happen. Got to introduce you. I got to build you up and give you
when people
great introduction.
They see me, it's just like, well, we know who's behind the curtain. I mean,
that's
it's
right.
Just a Jay guy. Like, come on.
That's right. We got to build you up, though. We got to roll out the red carpet for the guy.
Got
the
it.
One. He's the guy, and here he comes. Plus, after 50-plus episodes, we can't break format. There's an expectation. There's a built-in format for what we're doing. The whole comparative analogy thing. What are you going to be doing when you come on the air? What are you going to showcase? It's all about the mystery, holding it back. If we were just there, it'd be like, oh, well, that's not big news. That's not a big tease.
Let's look at that chat. There's a lot of people here. This is great. What's up, everybody?
Hello, Silver Knight Kyle, Scott, Severus Snape, Nelson. Looks like Action Figure Adventure. Me is chiming in as well. Lisa, of course. She wasn't the first tonight. Well, Silver Knight Kyle beat you. He tuned in just beforehand. JLS Comics is also saying hi. Nice to see everyone out for another week for toy streaming. Chatting goodness. Jay, how have you been, my friend?
I'm good. It's been an interesting week. Boosted up, leveled up, got my power armor on times two, so I'm ready to take on the world.
Welcome to the Matrix. Of course, we're talking about your third COVID shot, yeah?
Third one, yeah. And I've been pretty sick off all of them, but this one was the worst. And is the first time I had like this arm here is where I got it, and I still can't go past here, can't lift it up. So I was all bummed out because yesterday I got it and I couldn't play guitar, even doing the fingerings hurt. I was like, ah. And then around 6 o'clock I was out, and then the chills and all that stuff, and that lasted pretty much all day.
I skated by with every shot. I got my booster 3 weeks ago now, 2 weeks ago, something like that. And I felt a little tired, but it's so hard to discern if it's the booster or these awesome winter cold days, the short amount of sunlight, two kids running around, all the extra work. I've been pretty lucky though. But you know, it's probably just water they're putting in me old arm. Probably nothing that's going to save me, right? Isn't that what they say? It's all a big joke, a big conspiracy.
I have yet to comment on that stuff. And no, that's not true. I've commented before. Hey, you know what? All I got to say is this. Do what you want to do. At this point, 2 years in, I don't care anymore. You know, you got to go with what you believe in. And that's it. That's all I got to say. So,
well, obviously, you're pro-vaxxer. Since we're getting vaxxed, I think that's I'm going to put my faith in the science that I've seen out there. So
absolutely.
Everybody else gets that shot. Maybe we can meet up and do a little bit more toy shows as well. We are talking this week about rare action figures, and that is the more rare, the better, right? We'll get to that question with some answers, of course. We need to start off with our icebreaker. This week is brought to you by Mockmasters, Retro Rags, Heroes Comics in London, Ontario, and of course, Big Bad Toy Store. Jay, are you ready for the icebreaker? Here it comes. It's coming.
I am ready. Okay.
All right. When visiting a toy store, Jay, for yourself, not Action Figure Adventure, when visiting a toy store, do you do one lap before figuring out what you want to buy, or do you grab stuff as you see it and carry it through the store with you and eliminate later? What's that strategy, and how does that make you feel? Well, even just thinking about those.
No, it makes me feel anxious. Usually the stuff I want is usually behind some kind of glass for the most part. That's where the good stuff is. It's always out of people's reach for the most part. If it's a carded common figure, I'll grab it when I see it. I've learned the hard way, you know, if you see something and you want it, you know, it's within your reach, grab it, because there's always someone behind you waiting to scoop it up. So learn that the hard way. You've learned that the hard way. So I always carry it with me. If I don't want it, or if I find something better, I always put it back where I found it.
You don't hide it somewhere in case you change your mind after changing your mind?
I've seen a lot of people do that. I did that when I was a kid. I used to hide like the little Joe vehicle or whatever. And, you know, maybe, you know, when mom and I go back in a month and it's still under the spot I hit it, which of course it never was. But
I'll as take an adult, the hiss tank. I don't. You take the hiss tank and put it behind Barbie's dream house three aisles over down the
This
pink
is what aisle. I do. Okay. This is my rule and it's pretty simple. If I don't have any expendable income for my hobby that week, if I haven't, you know, saved up or put some, I don't go out. I don't put myself in a position where I don't have money to get hobby stuff.
You know, I don't like visit. This rule. I don't like this I won't visit rule at store. All. I don't like it at all because I think you always have to be open to the opportunity because opportunity is harder to find than the cash. Because more often than not, I think, you know, you won't find something, but you've got to always leave the opportunity.
I learned a long time ago, putting stuff on credit is not, for me, it's not good.
I didn't say put it on credit. The hard way. What I said is the stuff that you and I are after, especially with as vast as your collection is, finding those pieces to fill those holes on that known want list, not necessarily the surprise stuff like, oh my God, look at that. I wasn't even thinking about that. That stuff is maybe in a different category. But when you find that stuff like a desert scorpion or something, you know, that is like, oh, well, you know, that's on the checklist. I need that. I never see it. I got to pick that up. You've got to almost have a separate cash pool for that. But I think you always have to preserve the opportunity to find stuff.
Well, there you go. There you go. JLS is saying people hide figures here in Target. I've seen that lots of times on social media where, you know, someone's looking for He-Man or whatever, and they find something under the shelf in like the Barbie section or something. Someone's tried to, you know, stash something for later. You see that with a lot of the NECA turtles. I remember last summer, there was a lot of stashing going on.
Yeah.
People hiding them.
I love it when people take like figures and put them in the clothes section. They like wrap a sweater around it or something like that. Scott's saying, always grab it. It's not worth the risk. Skelevator says, so true. Waiting, hesitating is how I missed out on so many great toys. Better to not even look. I don't know. You got to look because you got to see. Upstate Johnny is tuning in. Thankfully, join us. I love it. Glad you were here. He wants to know if there's any interest in the premium DNA Madballs. Maybe we can talk about that before we get to our main topic as we highlight a few other new things that are going on. Try to remind us when we get to it.
Madballs were really cool in the 80s. I've seen a few figures? Here or there. Yeah, yeah. Not something I'm personally interested in, but I think they're damn cool. Absolutely. But tried to cut back on the new lines as much as I can. And focus a little more on the vintage stuff. That's kind of my goal for 2022. Just stop picking up new lines. Even Masters, I've stopped Origins, and I'm just focusing on Revelation now because I can't justify both at this point. Right. So, yeah.
I think the premium DNA Madballs are okay, but what I really like are the Madballs Garbage Pail Kids that they advertise, the two packs that blends both of them together. I think those look really fun. I think that's
very cool.
I'm surprised that you're stopping Origins and going Revelation because I think Origins is a far superior line. And I think, I guess it's really what you're into, right? Because I think Revelation is going to have a much shorter character list that's going to get released.
It's just new and different. And again, I'm not a big collector of the old He-Man stuff. I mean, I found these guys this past week. I never had Zor. So that was really exciting to see her and Screech I used to have. But I mean, you know, most of the stuff we talked about this, the rubber ring thing is always screwed up and you have to transplant it. And I don't know, man. I like Revelation because it reminds me of the 2002 where it was really exciting. The characters are different. It's a new He-Man story. It's just more exciting for me. That's all.
I'm just not 100% sold on the sculpt of the figures in those toys. They have trouble holding their accessories. They don't always stand up so good. I don't like the details on a lot of the face, like the Skeletor figure in particular.
Skeletor is bad. He's got a small head for some strange reason.
Skele-God, really tiny head. Similarly, He-Man and Faker. Thank goodness Faker comes with like a He-Man type head, so he looks better on He-Man than the He-Man head that comes with
him. Yeah, he has three heads. He's really cool.
I'm waiting for Prince Adam. That's what I want. That's what I want.
He's gonna be great.
And that's about it. So that's an interesting revelation you've given us with where you're collecting.
So like, I kind of look at Origins, Rob, and it's kind of like Turtles, where it's like I kind of draw a line in the sand. Although Origins kind of, you know, right out of the gate, they started off with some obscure stuff like Ninjor and some later run guys. But
yeah,
it's getting to that point now where it's like I have all the key characters. And I'm good with that. You know, I don't have Beastman is the only one I don't have. So if I saw Beastman, I would get him just to complete the set. Sure. But it begins, you can't see what I'm pointing at, but it begins with He-Man and Skeletor. And then it ends on my wall with vintage He-Man and vintage Skeletor sculpts. So I think that's
all the reissues with the new heads.
Yeah. So as soon as I get Beastman, I'll be satisfied.
See, for me, it's a bit of pick and choose. And I think what the Origins line does best is releasing the characters that we never got in Avengers, like the Keldor, not so much Kronos, the Trapjaw character, but Keldor in particular is cool. I like the armor that you get with the Secrets of Grayskull pack. That's pretty cool. Interesting that Scarecrow came out already, like super early, like you're saying. A lot of the later from the vintage ones got released up front. Kind of cool if you really like that. I'm really excited for the Horde Trooper. I like the Eternian Guards that are eventually coming. But yeah, pick and choose for me, definitely not all in. Can't be all in on anything. Is there a line that you're all in on for anything that's remotely new?
So far it's Revelation, yeah. Yeah, I got my buddy Dave's picking up. He found the latest wave for me, which is just before our bet starts, which is good. So that's, you know, Stinkor, Fisto, and I can't remember the other two.
Andra.
He found those for me. Oh yeah, a new character, which is great. I think that's really cool. Those for sure. I really like those characters. So I'm all in for that. Star Wars, Marvel Legends, stuff like that, still pick and choose, which I'm totally fine with.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's important to only have one line that you're trying to go all in that's manageable. If that's something you want to go down, we've talked about the need to complete or not complete and the trap that is. I want to get to playing our new weekly game that we've been doing seems to draw a lot of fun. Our own Kobayashi Maru, the no-win scenario, the what would bother you more. Do you want to play another round?
I do. It's my favorite game. I wait. There's two things I wait for with bated breath on Wednesday. And of course, one would be our game. And second would be that brilliant TV show, The Mandalorian. Or sorry, I mean Boba Fett, whatever it's called. Those two things just make my Wednesday my favorite day of the week. So let's go. Well,
we're going to have to figure out something to fill that void from your favorite Star Wars show and character goes off the air soon. Unless they've got a second season behind closed doors that we don't know about. We need to see it, right?
No, we're good. We're fine.
I don't know. Okay. I haven't seen this week's episode of The Mandalorian. I mean, Boba Fett, but we'll get to it when we can. All right. Kobayashi Maru, Jay, of course, what would bother you more? All right. Scenario number one. Broken figure that comes in the mail. Likely from the U.S. since you and I both order from Big Bad Toy Store. So we know that's a pain to return and the costly in shipping. Or a shelf falls over in the collection. What would bother you more?
Broken figure. I have the same shelves as everyone else does. I'm just looking at them here. I've had some top shelf guys fall. Luckily, I haven't had a breakage. I try and do it so... Actually, I don't have any rhyme or reason as to why they're on the shelf, but so far I haven't had any breakages so far, but I've had some guys jumping.
Oh my goodness. I can't. I think a shelf falling would bother me more. So I would rather have a broken figure in the mail.
I think with that, it's like you still have a chance that they might not break. So there's a chance of redemption where the broken figure is the broken figure in the mail. Like that's,
I guess where I come from with this scenario is like when I take it out of the box from the mail, I expect that given that it's shipped, that there's a chance that something broke and the trauma that goes with that versus the trauma of walking in to where you have stuff displayed and seeing the crime scene littered all over the floor. And then you have to go through all the figures that are laid out there, let alone redisplaying it all. Figures broken, the whole experience is over in, 20 seconds? You kind of get it. It's overdone. Fallen shelf, that's, you know, you've lost the day. And
you, if they you, if they break, my friend, they break. They're just toys, right? We'll live.
They are us. They make us feel good. They're our ego on display. They fill those holes. Put it on the shelf.
As you know, you and I both have had run-ins with Amazon. And that wasn't necessarily with the figure, but that was with the packaging. For anyone who doesn't know
stuff, bend.
What we're talking about, yeah, just check out my YouTube channel, Jay Bartlett, and I have a 3-part series on my favorite character. Actually, you can see him right there, which would be the Vintage Collection Return of the Jedi Luke Skywalker. And it took me 4 times. And then my good old pal Rob tried to get one because I would get them in the mail and the card was bent and crushed, as I should say. So Rob's like, oh, you know what? I'll try my luck and get one for you. And you got a clone trooper.
I got ARC Trooper right 5 figure. Or something. It was amazing. Like, you can't write the Amazon trials. I almost want to try it again to see how long something with Amazon can go. The nice thing is that, again, that return feature, but you are rolling the dice if you want perfect packaging from Amazon. That is for sure.
Yeah. So I've been lucky so far. I haven't had a broken figure in the mail. Thank goodness.
Scenario number two. Everybody, it's playing the home version. You get to weigh in. You can join us in the chat, of course. Scenario number two. What would bother you more, Jay? Kobayashi Maru. Too many figures to display or not having any shelves to display figures?
For me personally, I'm not a tote guy. So not having the shelves would be a problem because they're art, right? They're pieces of art. I want to see them. I mean, that's the whole point. I'm not saying anyone who has a tote collection. I know a couple buddies of mine actually have big collections that are mostly in totes and in boxes.
Are you a toter?
And you know what?
Full on totes.
Yeah. I mean, even in Nintendo Quest, man. Remember the guy with the vault? He had stadium events or whatever in the vault, and we're just like, why isn't that on display?
But Bonk Samson
and all that. So the stadium events book he had. Yeah. But anyway, my point is that's not my style. So if you buy all these wonderful things that bring you such joy and to have them crammed in boxes, I couldn't do it. So I would even rather have them just on a table, just laid out, just so I can at least see them, right?
Yeah, it would probably bother me not having shelves to display or some kind of fixture. Because at least if you have too many figures, you can rotate stuff. It's not that big of a deal, even if you become the dreaded tote collector or heaven forbid, the storage collector, where you've got actually like a storage unit somewhere with nothing but totes of your life and your childhood tucked away for another rainy day.
My buddies, we were talking the other day about, he's a big Star Wars collector too. My buddy Dave, and he was saying that all his Phantom Menace carded figures are in totes. I'm just like, oh, why is that? They're so great.
if it's relegated to the tote, there's probably a reason. And that should be the first clue, unless you're on a rotating basis every season or something like that. And hey, you know what? If that's the work you want to put into your collection, all the power to you. Upstate Johnny says, any shelves to display dollars for sure. Ethan Nelson, what's up? JLS Comics, no shelves equals solution to scenario number one. Cindy says, too many to display is definitely something I'm trying to avoid. Well, you're a collector now, whether you've chosen to admit it yet, Cindy. You've got quite the display on the go. Upstate Johnny says, rotate. Cactus Jamie, good to see you again, brother. Says, I change displays often so they stay fresh, and it gives me an excuse to set them up and play with my dollies and go pew, pew, pew every new way.
That's a good idea. Treat it like a store display or something, right? You have like
that's my goal for this year, every Sunday. Yeah. It was one of my resolutions this year to set up displays that you can actually have some playtime scenarios in. When I forced you to do some of that stuff with your G.I. Joe and the flag, it looked like a lot of fun for season 2 of Jay and Rob Toy Show on Jinx. So Country Boy 9 got a bunch of Deltoffs. Can't wait to build them and fill them. You know, can I be honest? I don't have any of those. I understand the appreciation. I hate reflections. So that would be a huge problem for me. But I know that this...
What are they?
I try to build them.
What is that?
What is what? What is what?
Got a bunch of what? What's Country Boy John
saying? The IKEA shelves that you have.
Oh, you know? Okay. Yeah. Okay, I didn't know what they were called. Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I know that if I got some, other than the reflections bothering me, I just know that if I put them together, they would shatter. because I would do something wrong and it would be game over. So I can't do it.
Gotcha, John. So what I have with mine, I only have two of those three tier ones, and I bought those clear spice racks from Amazon too. So the stairs, actually got that idea from Treehouse. And you really add a lot of, because they're so deep, right? Unless you have like 12 inch figures. I just have all Joes in mine. So you can really cram a lot of guys in there. It looks really nice, man. But I do agree with you, because I have the lights all taped in, the white lights. And opening that case, you got to run your finger all the way down it. And magnetic. I can see all my Joes are on stands. And I can, as I go down, I can see them starting to shake. I'm like, oh God. Because some of those green shirts are pretty, pretty.
And frankly, there's nothing that looks worse than those shelves crammed full of figures where they can't breathe. You know what I mean? Like where you've jammed stuff in there. Like maybe you could hold like a Rancor nicely, but then you're trying to put Jabba in there too. You want to do your Book of Boba Fett display where he's like taking
these things here. And for everyone who's watching, these clear display stands, I've used them for about a year and a bit on my YouTube channel. These are great for those IKEA shelves too, for putting like, if you had something like Mask on display on one of the shelves, you could put Rhino, up top, and then Thunderhawk. You could have multi-tiers and you really, really utilize the space. And I just find that they go really nicely with those IKEA shelves. So you can get them on Amazon. They're really cheap for sets.
It's a good little tip. You want to see more of those shelves? Check out Jay's YouTube, of course. All right. Last scenario for Kobayashi Maru. Jay, are you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
You should know that I spend all week trying to come up with the most painstaking scenarios, mainly to bother you, and I weigh in just out of courtesy, but mainly to bother you. All week, I run around with my phone and my little notes app trying to come up with this stuff. I narrow it down to my three favorite. The third scenario, again, if you're playing the home game, this is your chance to chime in. What would bother you, Jay, more? Having to sell all your Star Wars figures, including vehicles and playsets, or selling all your G.I. Joe vehicles and playsets and figures?
Star Wars. 100%.
That surprises me. Surprises me, given your love for that giant playset that's behind you, the Holy Grail, the one piece that has
the flag,
completed you as a collector. It surprises me.
I think G.I. Joe, Real American Hero, is the funnest toy line to collect. And I've said that for a while now. It's so fun to collect G.I. Joe. I love it more than anything. But Star Wars is my first love, and I think that's why I get so passionate when we talk about Boba Fett or Mandalorian or Rise of Skywalker. It's because it means so much to me. So to not have like just Luke alone, I couldn't do that. I just couldn't.
Couldn't do it. You could go back and recollect it all, but let's say there's some sort of life or death scenario. You had to sell one chance deal. You would get the money, of course. You could go back and get it. Star Wars.
Yeah, stuff. I mean, I would hate to say goodbye to the flag. I mean, that's my baby. That's literally, I don't know if anybody knows, that's literally my bed. No word of a lie there.
Yeah, I know this.
But I couldn't with the Star Wars stuff. It just means too much. There's too much childhood ties, especially with my mom. So getting rid of that stuff would be almost impossible.
We've stumped the chat a bit. JLS Comics says, that one, I can't pick.
You got to pick, dude.
JLS, you got to pick. You can't sit on the fence.
This is the torment I get every week. If I got to pick, you got to pick.
Upstate Johnny says, Star Wars has more memories in another toy line. Hexcalibur says, G.I. Joe would bother me more. I don't have much Star Wars stuff. That's fair. I think if I was to do an equivalent on my side, it would probably be between Masters and TMNT. And I think probably getting rid of TMNT would bother me more for some reason. I've cycled through my He-Man collection several times for our projects, almost with ease, but I've never really had to sell my Turtle stuff. And I have much more vivid memories of playing with Turtles, even though the figures I played with were which is a smaller group of Turtles compared to the He-Man figures, which I almost remember playing with all of them all the time. It's weird, but I think I'd have a stronger connection to those. But I don't have any of my childhood stuff for either. So really, really doesn't matter, I don't think.
out of yours, obviously the turtles would go almost gladly. See you later.
You know what, Jay? You have to keep one. You have to keep Captain Power. You have to keep TMNT. Which are you keeping?
Oh, God. Turtles.
Triple threat. Dick Tracy has now entered it. You got to keep Turtles or
Dick Tracy. I like the Dick Tracy stuff. When they have all their accessories and stuff, they're pretty cool.
When they have all their accessories, you mean the gun that they all get that looks the same?
Do they all have the same gun?
Yeah.
Well, I got the card in Dick Tracy from you, and he's got like Chuckles, you know, bando or bola thing or whatever, and he's got like a gun here and a nightstick, doesn't he?
It's a holster and it's a Tommy gun. That's all that they come with. And they all come with the same thing. Those super articulate details in the face that don't look like they've been melted down from plasticine. It looks like the California Raisins made the Dick
Tracy. There is no figure details worse than Captain Power. There's just that's a fact. They're so
Dick
terrible.
Tracy is a worse figure. First of all, the heads are too big on Dick Tracy. They might as well go for like a vinyl pop.
I'm talking about the detail on the face.
Yeah, look at the detail on the face of Dick Tracy.
Yeah.
Horrible.
No, man. Captain Power is brutal.
No, it's incredible. Brutal. It's awesome. It's Captain Breathtaking is what it should be. It's so good. Vac metal, articulation, 3 3/4, your favorite scale, maybe.
No, I'm just talking about the face. I think the figures are great. So I've always said the faces are just...
Upstate Johnny says, what a packaging on Dick. How? Speaking of G.I. Joe, there's a certain something going on in the world of Kickstarter these days, Jay. Have you seen that?
I have, yeah. I've been talking to our buddy there about his Kickstarter, and it's really, really exciting, man. Lots of stuff. Lots of stuff happening.
If you are part of the uninitiated, allow us to take a minute or two and talk about Mr. Carson Metaxas from 3D Joe's. Maybe the premier G.I. Joe resource online has launched a Kickstarter for his massive 480 plus page celebration of the art of a real American hero. Previously, Carson had released several volume iterations of this, but those books are out of print. They're smaller, and now he's taking the opportunity to go much, much bigger with the whole project. As you can see, he's struggling to meet his goal here of 30,000. He's only managed to raise 186,000 so far in like 4 days. The poor guy. I'm sorry, Carson. I don't know what you're gonna have to do with this. It's just quite sad to see that you've had to endure something like this. This dismal of a campaign with only 1,300 backers. Excited to share your love for the art of G.I. Joe. Basically, it's a giant book of everything, and you can see the difference between the original volume that he released and this. Here's a nice before and after. You can see the detail of taking out creases and stuff and cleaning it up. It takes a lot of time. These are the original books here that they had collected with a slipcase cover, which I'm a backer of as well. You can see the size difference here. So, all that to say, guys, if you love the art of G.I. Joe, this is for you. This is an amazing coffee table book. This is an amazing resource. You owe it to yourself as a Joe fan, even just as an action figure fan. I am not a big Joe collector. It is probably in my top 10, but not even top 5. I love G.I. Joe even more having got this original release of those 6 volumes. And I am a backer of this project because I believe in Carson and everything he does. He supports us. And you know what? This is a great deal. Plus, he's offering a Blu-ray disc with interviews featuring Kirk Bazogian, Ron Rudat, Doug Hart, and Ed Morrill, which is a pretty cool little bonus that hasn't been released before. So what can you say, right? It's a pretty good deal.
It's amazing. And if there's anyone who's going to carry the torch for G.I. Joe, it's Carson. The passion that he has for that brand is second to none, as we've seen firsthand in his Toys R Us that he has built in his old residence, and just the collection and the way he talks about it. And he's friends with everyone in the industry. He's personal friends with Larry Hama, with Ron Rudat. I mean, Ron Rudat is the main artist. Like, it's insane. He's got a lot of things, and I feel kind of bizarre talking about it. So I'm not going to, you know, give away everything that Carson says. I would go on 3D Joe's and check out all the updates that he has for the future of G.I. Joe, because he's involved with future projects with the action figures as well.
Yeah, and we hope to talk to him about a very special passion project that he's working with some of those creators. Him and I have been talking behind the scenes. We're trying to figure something out there. I can't wait to see what he does with that. But this is what's center stage right now, folks. If you love G.I. Joe, this is your chance to get in it. It says already at the top there, it's 12.5 by 13 inches. It's actually going to be bigger than that because they need an extra inch for the binding in the middle, and they don't. And Carson doesn't want to take away from the images, so it'll even be bigger than that. This is just a fantastic opportunity, especially since so many of us here in the chat and the followers just, you know, we love the artwork, the packaging. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I would say, without even hesitation, G.I. Joe card art is the greatest of all time. It's not even, for me, it's like, it's the ultimate. Everyone is different. I mean, I have this from last week. I mean, this isn't old stuff, but I mean, they hand painted every single figure from a number of different artists. I mean, not many figure lines did that. I mean, Star Wars took stills of the images, but Joe is just something special.
They committed to it for sure. So every character getting its own unique portrait is a pretty big thing. Actually, I think what was really cool on season one of Action Figure Adventure is the packaging segment, where people weigh in on all the different packaging from all the different lines, and it really gives you an opportunity to compare and contrast. A lot of people like Masters, especially their playset boxes, that illustrative Frank Frazetta, Conan type stuff. But the figures don't get that kind of same display. You get some like card art on the back, the top third, Errol McCarthy style stuff. But it's not the same as G.I. Joe, I don't think.
It was really the complete package. I mean, you take a look at the first 12 Joes, and for the most part, they're all green shirts. They're all generic soldiers. One's a bazooka guy, one guy's a laser guy, etc. And that combined with Larry Hama's write-up brought these characters to life. Like Grunt is literally a grunt. He's a GI. He's a, you know, a trench soldier. And the write-up that Larry Hama gave him, the art of Hector Garrido, just brought that common character to life. And I don't know many brands that have done that. I don't know if any have done that. I think GI Joe. I mean, look at that. Yeah, Zap art there. It's just incredible.
There we go. Yeah, I love that part about G.I. Joe. Like, regardless of your role within the military, you too can be kind of like a star and have your own story. Exactly. There's nobody.
And if you take Snake Eyes out of it, and Storm Shadow, and Cobra Commander, and Duke, those four main characters, if you take them out of it, and you ask an average G.I. Joe fan who their favorite character is, you're most often going to get a different answer from every person. And then it's amazing to me how people fixate. You got a lot of Beachhead fans. You got a lot of people who like Dusty, and they fixate on one character. And I think that's what's so great about that line, is the way Larry Hama brought everyone to life, and the artwork. It's incredible.
A lot of great characterization where people felt like they could pick somebody other than the main hero, the main villain, without feeling like they're picking somebody that's a subordinate, like henchman, you know, because even within the ranks of Cobra, for as many dumb things that happen within the cartoon, those are still cool characters, right? And there's still a lot of interesting personalities to pick from without feeling like you have to pick the He-Man or the Skeletor, say. You know, there's a world of difference between Skeletor and like Merman. A lot of Merman fans out there. But when you look at like Cobra Commander, Tomax and Zaymot, Mindbender, Destro, Baroness, like Zartan, like they're all kind of at an equal level playing field for one reason or another. And that art goes a long way to help building that characterization. And what Carson's doing is a lot of work, a lot of years putting into it. So I'm glad he's able to do that. There was somebody in chat saying, I hope that he gets there. Oh, he smashed it within hours, the goal. So it is happening. You are going to get it. Back it now, because this is limited to only 2,000 copies, Jay, of this hardcover book. At least that's what it says on Kickstarter. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, and we got to go into Carson's lab at the 3D Joe's headquarters there and see how he took photos. In fact, that inspired me to start taking my own photos with the gorgeous white that he does with the white light and stuff like that. It's amazing. And the amount of time it would take just for one figure. You know, then you think of all the vehicles and then all the accessory packs, the battlefield packs. It's just,
and it's, yeah. And it's not just the vehicles, right? From every possible angle, it's all the accessories, the moving parts, showing them in every different range as well.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy the way that that works and everything that you've got to do for that. So kudos to him. This kind of leads us though, because obviously being able to showcase all that art means you have to have some rare figures. And G.I. Joe is no slouch when it comes to rare figures on display. I wanted to talk to you, Jay, about rare figures and collecting rare figures and the interesting thing that happens when you hear something that's rare. So I tentatively titled the episode, "The More Rare, the Better," kind of like as a question. What did you feel about that topic when I threw it at you to discuss tonight? How did you take it?
Well, I mean, I've always gravitated towards that stuff. Rarer figures just tend to have, you know, a really interesting story as to why they're rare. So anything rare or really sought after because they're short prints or whatever is always more interesting to me, regardless of what it is. It's the Indiana Jones thing, right? I mean, going after that artifact. I think people will always want to go after the artifact as opposed to something they can just get. I mean, there's no fun in that.
So describe that feeling, right? Because this is where my list of bullet points starts too. Like, what is the difference between buying common figures for you versus buying rare figures?
Rare figures, I don't want to say it's a status symbol, because for me, it's just a personal sense of satisfaction. I love sharing my rare stuff with you and with other collectors. And I think we kind of cheer each other on when we get pieces like that. But I mean, it's stuff that you don't see. And I count eBay as well. I mean, because there's a few pieces I've been looking for over the last couple of years that don't really ever come on eBay either. You know a few of them, and I'm going to reveal one in the next few weeks, so I'm not going to say. You know what it is, Rob, but
I've forgotten already, but I'm excited.
Sure. It's just stuff like that that you don't necessarily have the option to get. And it's not a money thing. It's just you don't have the option because it's just not
the opportunity.
It's not online. It's not at a comic shop. You just don't see it. So that stuff to me is always the most interesting.
Upstate Johnny's chiming in a little bit here. He says, "The more rare, the better. The more memories toward the toy takes the cheese. There are rare items and figures I had as a kid, and I'm still after because the memories, not so much the rare." He's also looking for Arco Castle Zendo in a box. Don't know the Arco line. Actually, I'm interviewing somebody right now who collects all the Arco stuff, but the bendy figures, I believe.
Yep.
Rare is cool. It grabs your attention, right? Like it perks your ears up. Oh, this figure is rare. Why is it rare? Is it just because everybody wants a Snake Eye, so finding it out there is harder to get, or it's too pricey and that's what makes it rare? The common figures, I think, really only carry weight when collecting when you have that personal connection. And that can be almost as exciting when you get one of those common figures that you loved as a kid back into your collection, because maybe it's not there, as it is as finding, you know, what, like Night Force Tunnel Rat or something like that. You know, a version of a character that's rare, that's harder to find, that was like a Toys R Us exclusive or something.
Yeah, I'm finding... especially with the pandemic and everyone's kind of gravitating towards, you know, buying what makes them happy. This stuff is really, really hard to get now. And you and I collect pretty much all lines. And I find, like, I've always had my eye on Night Force Falcon, because Falcon is one of my favorite Joes. Forget it. I think the only Night Force I've ever seen was the Tunnel Rat that I got at Treehouse. You don't see this stuff anymore. You always see the same figures from the same lines kicking around. Like we talked about superpowers a lot. You always see the same 10 superpowers, but you never see, you know, you rarely see, like, you know, we said Darkseid with the cape and stuff like that. So this stuff is getting really scarce. And I think it's also people are just hanging on to this stuff more.
Well, I think with people being home in the last 2 years and investing in it and rediscovering it and acquiring it more, it's gone through a little bit of a starvation, right? Like the supply and demand has tilted towards the demand versus the supply. It'll swing back the other way, especially as people fall in love with newer stuff that gets released and they have to liquidate something to get the other thing that they want. I think as the world starts opening up, whatever schedule that is on, I think you will see people lose interest in that. So when they come back to it 6 months later after resuming what they had been doing before, it's not going to carry the same interest. It's all ebb and flow. Nothing lasts forever. I think you're going to probably see it pop a little bit too. Would you ever, though, buy figures just because they're rare? Like, let's say Battle Beasts, okay? The image that we used for this week's thumbnail is you looking at some sealed Battle Beasts. Sealed Battle Beasts are obviously increasingly difficult to find, let alone some of the figures within the Battle Beasts or the Laser Beasts run. Would you buy that if you were in a shop and you knew that it was rare? Just because it's rare and just because it's in front of you. And I say that because that's not a line that you collect.
And that's pretty rare to say because, again, you and I try to represent most of everything in our collections. I think that's just how we were raised. I would probably say no. I mean, for Battle Beasts, I have zero interest in them aside from when I was a kid. I loved them. And we did see some, obviously, from that image. I'm not going to say whether I picked them up or not. But for me personally, I would say no, especially for the cost. Those were like $400 or something for two. Yeah. Like, that's just not money I have to throw around. And I'm not a flipper. I don't like to do that. And you know, if one of our buddies was maybe looking for it and I had the extra money, that's different. But yeah.
See, I'm kind of with Upstate Johnny here who says, you know, I'll buy it. Just one. And the one is all I need of a Battle Beast. I like the idea of, again, because we're trying to get away of having to buy everything, to have representation across all the little things that kind of made up who we are.
Well, that's different. That's different than if it was a rare figure.
Right. So if I could get the one Battle Beast that's rare, then I'd rather that than something that's common. But I say that because I have no real connection to Battle Beast. I had maybe 12 as a kid, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm not really connected to them all that much. And maybe some of the ones that I had as a kid are rare. And that would be like a double win. But if I knew that there was a rare one there, that would be like, okay, cool. I'm going to have a Battle Beast. I'll do that. So interestingly, let me throw it to you. Scratch from TMNT is obviously one of the rare turtle figures. You're not a big turtle fan. You have turtles. Same with Hotspot, the Dalmatian firefighter guy. Would that be something that you pick up? Because it is a line that you have. Reasonable price, good condition, all those things, you know.
Yeah, I would get Scratch for sure. Because the tales of him and the stories behind him are so interesting to me, and turtles aren't completely foreign. I have a very modest turtles collection. So yeah, I would do that for sure. Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Cause that's really interesting. Cause I know your love for turtles falls off after the first 15 figures, but you'd be interested in a growth for that.
Yeah, and I mean, I think I'm one of the only people, and I'm not crapping, nor have I crapped on turtles. Just for me, it was, honestly, it just came down to my age.
Sure.
And the show is just, it's very silly. I mean, that's what it was, right? And that's the appeal to it. So just for me, it didn't stick, that's all.
Nathan's chiming in saying, way more collectors these days. I'm hoping after the Big C, the Big Cron, people sell their collections and prices drop. I think you're going to see that. I've already noticed people getting burnt out. Since we started the show back up, Jay, with our live streams, pairing it with Jinx, I have heard more people talk about pop culture burnout and collecting burnout than I've ever experienced in our entire lives as collector. People, I think, just got back into it so hard. And with so many, admittedly, great toys coming out, it's just, it's too much and it's overwhelming and it's the instant off switch. There's no, it's not a dimmer switch. It's off, shut, kill the power.
Yeah. I mean, and it's kind of funny because that's the pressure we put on ourselves for no other reason than, well, I mean, I can't answer that, but it's really self-induced, right? It's not, no one's holding a gun to your head saying you have to buy every G.I. Joe classified. You somehow get it in your head that if I don't have all of them, you know, I'm not a real Joe fan or some, you know, bull crap like that. But it's all self-induced, and that's really too bad. And that's something you and I have learned over the last year, where we've kind of really pulled back and said, hey, you know, it's okay to not have everything. You know, you don't need to, like, the classified stuff is a tale I've told many times, but the Target stuff, especially not having a Target in Canada, really burnt me out. And thank God I had G.I. Joe John to pick me up, Major Blood and those guys. But I'm not going to bend over and go crazy for that stuff again. It really burnt me out, and it took all the fun out of that G.I. Joe collecting.
Shout out to 1-6 Shooter who's chiming in. And, man, love your work. The stuff that you do with Mythic Legions and the Horsemen is awesome, plus everything else. More companies pumping out more product fast, and people don't have the room, let alone the cash. And, boy, doesn't that really sum up the HasLab conundrum a month ago, let alone everything that Super 7 seems to advertise on top of Fan Friday from Hasbro Pulse? It's just never, never ending. And the problem is, I can't blame people for getting upset about it and, you know, getting to the point of burnout, because collecting figures is fun. New releases are fun. The G.I. Joe classified stuff that came out a week ago, the twins, and there was a leak about Tiger Force characters coming out as well, a Baroness figure as well. What was some of the other, wasn't it Gung Ho was also
the
released?
Vipers, Gung Ho with the, and I use this term loosely, the proper colored fatigues, you know, because everyone complained that he didn't have the bright blue. And then version one of Stalker too, we got.
Yeah. Here's an interesting conundrum coming from Cracktastic Plastic. How is there equally an overabundance of toys and an underwhelming distribution problem? Well, I think part of that comes from the economic system, where they want all the money up front. So we're burnt out with spending, and it takes so long to get the figures, at least for a lot of the newer stuff that is plaguing people more and more. Now, as far as vintage stuff, I don't think it is a distro problem, because it's out there in stores, and, you know, watching Action Figure Adventure will tell you all you have to do is go to store, city, which admittedly is a little bit harder now, but they are out there. You just got to look. But the new stuff, it's here's this. But now you're waiting a year and a half. 2 years, 3 years, and more pre-orders keep coming without the deliveries at the same rate. So that's the disconnect, I think.
I've also seen in personal experiences, I've seen a lot more scalpers, a lot more people flipping this. So Walmart will just put out the new Masters Universe Origin Wave, and I've seen people with carts, and they clear the pegs. They take every last one. So I've seen a lot more than that. You know, it's these scalpers, that's what they do. You know, they take more than they need. And I guess that's how they're making their living. And everyone has a right to do what they want, blah, blah, blah. That doesn't mean I have to like it. So it's not just, you know, one or two figures go, they buy one or two. They're buying everything, man. So unless you're there when the associate puts it on the pegs, you might be out of luck.
Yeah. We got 1-6 Shooter chiming in again, and this is piggybacking off of what Cactus Jamie says as well. It's fun. People should have fun with them. There's so much and things constantly improving that stuff isn't going to have the kind of value that stuff from the 70s and 80s does. Cactus Jamie's chiming in on that. What are kids of today going to be nostalgic for in 15, 20 years? iPads? I wonder what the collecting world will look like then. Super interesting things, and Jane, you and I talk about this all the time. Like, is everything that's going to that's coming out now, is it going to be collectible in 20 years? I think the numbers are far lower than it was in the 80s. I don't think the kids are playing with it like we used to. I think that's what makes the 70s and 80s stuff more interesting, because we played with stuff, you know, you and I, until we're 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, it held us that long. We didn't give it up at 6 or 7 like kids say, because the iPad is so engaging, or the video games are. Audience for stuff today isn't going to be what it was for us looking back then. But for collectors like us, I think there's still going to be interest in all this stuff because the numbers are lower. I think, you know, turtle figures that are coming out from Super 7 are going to be $150. You know, they're already $60 now. It's only twice the value. That's not a huge...
Yeah.
It's not unreasonable to forecast.
Yeah, but look at like the 2000s and even up to like 2015, like there's not even close to the same memorable figures that came out. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I'm not talking about classics, because those are the exception. I think every one of those is worth $1 million, But I mean, you know, there's, we talked about, there's so much like McFarlane Spawn stuff just everywhere. That's just like a dollar in the dollar bin. Right.
Yeah.
I think the 70s and 80s, 80s in particular, was such a special time. And it was just a time of excess. And you can tell by, you know, that playset right there, that just shows you how crazy toys were in the 80s, that they thought that Hasbro thought that creating a 7.5 foot aircraft carrier, it was actually a good idea.
You know? Pick it up. Let's do it. They want more? Give them more. Upstate Johnny says, attention spans aren't the same. And I don't think that's the case. I really don't. I think it's the lure of the digital device. It is so good. It is too good. I can't play video games today like I used to 20 years ago because they are too good. You know, Bill Burr talks about this too. He loves video games, but he can't play them because his life will disappear behind the masterful creations that they are and how easy it is to get sucked into them and lose track of time and be perfectly happy all the time doing that. There's so many other things. Kids still like toys. So they still have the attention span. They just want to put the attention span to something else. There's a competition factor today that there wasn't back then. And we grew up with Nintendo and Sega and stuff like that. But even still, it's not like it is today. It's very different. So I think attention spans are there. They're just getting diverted.
Again, we've said this a million times. So why not a million and one? But when we grew up, the TV shows were on when they were on. If you missed it, you picked up the figures and continued the adventure. That simply doesn't exist anymore because Netflix, you can watch whatever you want, whenever you want, forever, at any time, anywhere. So it's just a different time, plain and simple.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Interesting question. But are the new Turtle Joe Marvel stuff fans, kids that will be seeking nostalgia of their dad's collections in 50 years? I wonder. I never really got into the generation before me and their toys. I kind of learned about it through collecting the stuff that I liked and wanted to see what came before me. I don't foresee my kids getting interested in my collectibles in 20 years and wanting to recreate that, unless there's some sort of nostalgic thing that we've done together. Like my daughter plays with the TMNT sewer set from 88. She loves it. My son loves Grayskull and Snake Mountain, but that's because of my presence and my influence. You know, they also have their own toys that they're quite interested in.
Yeah. I don't have any kids, but from what I've observed from people who do have kids, their stuff is Fortnite. You know, they collect those digital avatars, and I think that's fine too, but it's a shame. Yeah. What happens, you know, when we go and then the next generation comes in and they weren't raised on G.I. Joe or Transformers, are they really going to care about all this stuff? I think there'll be a couple of really great museums that houses this stuff, but I think the majority of it's going to get, you know, sold off and eventually be worth nothing. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong, but that's what I feel like is going to happen.
Last question on the topic this week, Jay, do you ever feel guilty for leaving rare figures behind when you leave a store, whether it's from a line that you collect, a line that you don't collect, knowing cognitively that there is a rare figure here? As a collector, I like the rare pieces, the stories that happen to this figure and what makes it rare, the drive, the demand. Is there something that gnaws at you as you exit the door that's hard to shake?
Yeah. I feel like it's my responsibility to preserve this stuff. I really do. And I don't know if that's good or bad, but there's been a lot of times where I've left things behind. It's like, I should have got that, you know, because everyone feels the same, but I know here it's safe. I know no one's going to touch it or grab it and it's going to be preserved. And, there's a few things I've left behind that I wished I'd picked up, but there's only so much money and there's only so much space, right? But it does bother me.
You're a sick, sick man. You are a sick, sick man. You don't need that kind of emotional attachment to these dollies. You're a true shelfer, my friend. And there's nothing wrong with that. I guess to cap it off, Nathan's wondering, since we've talked about it a lot, will we be collecting a thing in 20 years? In 20 years, will there still be stuff that we collect versus say something that's digital?
Yeah, look, I'm not saying collecting digital is not a thing, because it is. But for me, you know, I'm a human being. One of my senses is touch. And one of the things, and I think you can attest to this too, Rob, that we both miss is like CDs and records. You can still collect them, but it's not the same as it was, where, you know, you would get a record or you would get a CD or a tape and open it up and feel the artwork and read the liner notes and read the lyrics. And now you just, you know, search Black Sabbath on your iTunes and it comes up. It's just, it's not the same.
It's a different listening experience too, man. Like I still remember the difference between listening to tapes, side one, and going to side two versus CDs and how weird that was. It's like,
You still had something in your hand,
but it's still different, right? And same with like playlists now today. Playlists versus mixtapes, they're not the same, even though one is very, you know, it emulates the other thing. It's a different experience. It goes back to like, sometimes you need a commercial break to get excited about the next thing. You need to have that built-in time to go to the bathroom or get a snack or whatever it is. So that's that. Let's get on to Action Figure Spotlight before we run out of time this week, my friend. Do you have like six things for me to pick from, or are you showcasing one and only one piece?
I think given the topics, I have one. I got to go grab. So if you want to go first and make yourself big there so I can sneak out of my chair and grab it, I'm going to change what I was going to show.
All right. And so three,
you go first.
Sneak off. So this week, it's a mail call. Now, this is a kind of a cool comparison because I actually have my original vintage TMNT, Muckman, and Joe Eyeball here. This is a figure that I don't remember from the cartoon series at all. So NECA has released the cartoon version of this figure, and I have no interest in it because it just didn't connect with me on any level. But as a kid playing with this figure, I absolutely loved this guy. It reminded me a little bit of Oscar the Grouch, which is kind of like this big pile of living garbage. That I no connection to the show or even the comic, so I had to make up my own storylines. I always thought of him as a kind of like a hired gun, a henchman, a bit of an anti-hero, somewhat along the lines of maybe Rat King, not really affiliated with anybody but themselves. But today in the mail I got the Super 7 Ultimates one.
Ooh. Now,
I want to show you the size difference. Look at the size difference here. It's incredible. I can't believe the difference between this, and you can see where the sculpting is taking the cues and everything. It's just, I can't say enough. It is so big and so very, you know, reflective of the original toy, but just monstrous. The box is bigger than most of the other Super 7 boxes as well. It has all, you know, the accessories and whatnot. Joe Eyeball goes on the back, just like he does here in his little trash can, but like many of the turtle stuff back in the day, not everything was painted, right? So you just got the sculpt and they ran out of the dollars to kind of do the paint job on it. Again, the Super 7 stuff really ups the ante on that. And it always bothered me as a kid that you'd have so many accessories like the cannons and the guns and everything like that were just left gray. Like, okay.
See, I like that.
You get sculpt, but how much better would it be if it was painted? So again, this is where the big dollies come in for the big kids. You want a big kid?
Yeah.
There you go. So you have it all kind of decked out now, the way, like kind of almost completing the vision as properly as possible. So Muckman and Joe Eyeball, TMNT Super 7. Awesome figure. Love it. Maybe my favorite in the entire line so far. Definitely top three. Awesome. That's great. Figure. So
good for you. That's awesome, man.
What do you got?
Mine, you've seen this before.
And mine, I will open it.
Oh, good. That's great. Mine encompasses everything we've been talking about today. So G.I. Joe, a figure that's extremely rare and a figure with an interesting story. So back in the battlefield in 1987, as kids, we've heard of this figure that you could only get through the G.I. Joe serial. You had to send away for this figure, this elusive figure that... that existed or didn't exist. I didn't know anyone who had him. And through shooting season one of Action Figure Adventure, we met our good buddy. I'm actually going to not name him because this is where I got it from. And he had a spare of this figure and he had it in his bag and I kind of pried it out of his hands. This is the legend. I'll take him out here. This is in his case. So this is the 1987, if I can open this. Elusive Starduster. There he is. He's complete with his silver grenade launcher that is just a repaint of gun hose. His backpack. This is one of the rarest figures in G.I. Joe, and it's one of my most favorites. He has his own spot, his own carbonite chamber. This is one that you never see, and I mean never. He's extremely rare. He's extremely sought after, and he was a mail away. And he's got a great story, too, because everyone knew about this figure, but on the playground and stuff, since there was no internet and we weren't buying toy magazines back then, nobody knew if he really existed. I can tell you for a fact that he does. And he is just gorgeous. He's one of my favorite Joes. There he is a little bit up close. There's his jump jet pack that he comes with. And if anyone has the jump mini accessory playset, he goes great with that. Him and Grand Slam complement each other. There he is. That is Starduster. Love him.
That's awesome. You disappointed Cactus Jamie. He thought it was going to be some Captain Power.
Sorry, brother.
We're going to call you Captain Jamie now instead of Cactus Jamie. That's how it's going to go. That's a cool figure, man. I love that Joe had so many mail-aways. That's one of my favorite things because they have so many of those figures, the variants, the re-releases. A lot of people hate on the re-releases and the variants, right? Like the alternate paint jobs. But for Joe, it makes so much sense.
In Starduster, he was never in anything. He was never in the cartoon. He was never in the comic book. He had a brief animated appearance in the commercial. So he shares Steeler's head, which is also Flash's head. He has Duke's chest, Rakondo's pants. And I don't know whose crotch he has. Someone else differently. So he's just a Frankenstein, right? But right. I mean, that was one of the charms of the Joe figures. And this guy is worth a lot. Sorry about the dogs.
Like $20?
I'd say it's worth like $5-$10. Yeah.
You know what? That's a lot for a toy from 40 years ago. I'll take it. I'll take it any day. Good for you, man. Good for you for splurging. That'll do it for another episode of the Jay and Rob Toy Show. We appreciate all the viewers and all the comments tonight, as always. But Jay.
What a great turnout.
Where can people find more of your wonderful commentary, enthusiasm, and passion for dollies?
Besides the awesome work that we do together on Action Figure Adventure and the Jay and Rob Toy Show, I would like anyone in chat who hasn't subscribed to my YouTube channel to do so. I'm closing in on 2,000. I'm only, I think, about 15 away from 2,000 subscribers. So just go to YouTube and search Jay Bartlett and all your toy goodness. There's lots of great videos, lots of unboxings, lots of, you know, me just acting like an idiot. So go check it out. I would appreciate all the subs. Thank you.
Appreciate you checking out this show every week on my channel, guys. Hit sub, subscribe. You get more videos and stuff. I'm hoping to do a little bit more on the YouTube front in the coming months here and there. I've got an idea I'm going to throw out there. We'll see what sticks. I'll probably make a bunch of them and release them over time, which is kind of fun. Thanks for everything tonight. If you want to talk to me more, hit me up on Twitter at Rob McZob or on Instagram at Rob McCallum Films, at Action Figure Adventure, at the Jay and Rob Toy Show. We both kind of chime in here and there, tag each other, go nuts with all that stuff. Jay, we end every episode, we try to, the same original catchphrase that isn't plagiarized from anyone or anywhere. For the love of toys and the warmth of scarves, Jay, take care of yourselves
and each other.
Because playtime, Jay,
is Starduster. I would never play with this. Playtime is the best time, my friend.
I agree. See you guys next week. Cheers.